transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. I am in London for a change today, and my very special guest on our show today will be Dr. Paul McKenna, and he is not only the author, Britain's best-selling nonfiction author, but he has done what he does with Hollywood movie stars, with Olympic gold medalists, with rock stars, with leading business achievers, with royalty, and with my wife. Because he's also a very, very dear friend. So let me just bring him straight on. Paul, welcome to the show.
I wonder what you're going to say there. For
you know, we gotta find a way to keep these things going. So I wanted to do a show on sleep because, I mean, you know, in fairness, partly because you've written the best-selling new book on sleep, which is called I Can Make You Sleep, but also because for so many people, sleep is almost like the elephant in the room because it's something that all of us, obviously we all do in one way or another every day, but so much of our health, so much of our energy, so much of the clarity of our thinking winds up connecting to the quality of our sleep. And I'm just wondering if just to begin, you can talk about in putting the book together and in working with people on really overcoming their you know, whatever sleep problems they brought to the table. What have you learned about the importance of and the value of sleep?
Well, it's very simple. If you sleep well, you will have improved immune system, immune function. Your health will be better generally. In fact, there's an article in the New Scientist that is now linking Alzheimer's to lack of sleep. You know, saying that it exacerbates it. So, you know, it's fairly simple and straightforward. You sleep well, you're definitely going to be in better health. Also, it will significantly affect your moods. If you sleep well, you will be more joyous, you'll be more optimistic, you'll be more positive. And also, if you sleep well, you have increased stamina. So your productivity will be improved, you know, your ability to get things done and the standard to which you do them will be better. So it's very simple. A healthy, happy life leads back to a good night's sleep. And it's not just the number of hours, because, you know, everybody seems to be hung up on the amount of hours. You know, I'm an 8-hour.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been told 1,000 times, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really interesting. What the research is not conclusive on this, but I think that tells us everything. Because, you know, some people can get by very well on 5 and some people on 8. You know, some people famously, like Bill Clinton and Winston Churchill, 4 or 5 hours a night function absolutely fine. I think it's the quality of sleep that's as important as the hours. I would rather have 5 really good hours sleep than 8 hours of light and disturbed sleep. And so the quality is something that I get people to gauge. When they buy my book and start using the hypnosis CD that comes with it, they then can start noting not just the number of hours that they get, the extra hours, but also the quality. And you see, I never thought I had a sleep problem. You know, I sleep pretty well. You know, occasionally I'd use some medication for jet lag or something like that. Just take a, you know, very light sleeping tablet, you know, sedative, not, you know, one of these powerful hypnotics. I just take one of those occasionally with a jet lag, and I never really thought anything of it. However, when I worked more and more with people with sleeping disorders, because I've been doing this for about 20 years, I realized it wasn't just the hours, and also that quite a lot of people have sleep disruption, but they sort of put up with it, because the estimates are now that, you know, many of the countries in the Western world, it's around 30% of the population that are suffering from sleep disorders. And a lot of people won't go see the doctor about it because it's not bad enough, but also they don't want to take medication. And I agree. I mean, you know, most people don't want to be addicted to prescription drugs and taking them, you know, for long periods of their life, although when it comes to medication, I just want to put a little caveat in. Always consult your doctor, because clearly for some people it is the right thing to do. And so I noticed when I wrote this book and when I record a CD, I listen to my own CDs many times. In fact, what I do is go back and redo them several times. You know, I'm quite a perfectionist. I suddenly noticed the quality of my sleep improved dramatically. And I didn't think I had a sleep problem. So I don't have a sleep problem. But I suddenly went, oh, my word. I assumed that I slept well, but I had no idea this whole world of better sleep is out there. and I didn't even know it existed. So even if you sleep really well, I'm going to suggest you can sleep even better. When you consider you spend a third of your life sleeping, you know, it's an important part of your life. And, you know, it's not just one of those things you can bowl down the shop. Well, you can actually now bowl down the shops and buy it because the book is available. But a billionaire could afford a better bed than most of us. But they can't buy a really good night's sleep. And I thought, isn't that neat that nowadays people can get a CD and a book. The book takes about 2 hours to read, and the CD, you know, is about 25 minutes in length. It's a hypnosis CD that you listen to as you go to sleep. And it's like a guided meditation, kind of, some people say, a bit like a bedtime story, sort of comforting. And it relaxes and slows down the busy mind, and calms that down. It relaxes the body. And so you glide into a beautiful night's sleep, and your quality of sleep, as well as the hours, will be improved.
Well, I know years and years ago, you recorded a sleep CD as part of a program you did called LifeWorks.
Oh, yeah.
And my best friend went to bed listening to that for about 11 years.
Great.
And there is something, there's something quite wonderful, both in terms of you know, the hypnotic metaphor, the feel of it, but just there is something incredibly comforting, and it helps create a ritual. And I know in the book you talk about the real value of creating ritual around sleep. And that was one of the things that, for me, I kind of looked at and I thought, you know, that's something where I could make a change. Because I sleep extremely well. I'm usually head hits, pillow, eyes shut.
Yeah.
So I was also aware that I don't always wake up refreshed.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found has made a difference was beginning to create a ritual. So I'm wondering if we can maybe take people there and begin to talk about what are the elements of a effective bedtime ritual.
Well, you know, I mean, I suppose what I should also do is point to you know, some of the negatives too, because we're born genetically programmed to have a good night's sleep. People always ask me this. They go, well, can everyone have a good night's sleep? And I go, of course they can. We are all born genetically programmed to sleep well. So what happens to stop that? Busy 21st century life gets in the way, and basically a few bad habits. So, for example, you know, people get stressed, they get worried, they have disruption to their sleep. And, you know, they'll do things like this. Many of them will drink caffeine. This is really obvious. I know it sounds obvious, but when you actually get people to stop and look at it, they go, oh, yeah, I do that. They'll drink caffeine late at night, and, of course, that disrupts sleep. In addition, they'll do things like they'll watch TV and watch, say, an action movie or something like the news, which is full of doom and gloom, just before they go to bed. And their body's full of adrenaline and all stressed, and then they wonder why they're not sleeping well. You know, and so what then happens is, they convince themselves that they're not good sleepers because they've had some disruption. And then they start to worry and literally hypnotize themselves through the day. They'll go, am I going to sleep well tonight? Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. And they start to, you know, run a little movie in their mind of them looking at the alarm clock. I've got 6 hours. Now I've got 5 hours. Now I've only got 4 hours. And they wind themselves up. And so by the time it's bedtime, they've created this this expectation they're not going to sleep well. They're worried about it. They've got too much adrenaline in their system. So lo and behold, it all becomes one great big self-fulfilling prophecy. And before long, they've convinced themselves they're an insomniac and they're different to other people. And of course, all they've done really is train themselves to have a few bad habits. And frankly, who doesn't have a few? Then, you know, what they've done is really trick themselves into thinking that they've got a problem that's much bigger than it is. And, you know, some of these people that I talk to, they go, oh, I've had it for 20 years. I went, yes, and you're really good at it because you've done it for 20 years. But you weren't born an insomniac. You learned it. And if you learned it, you can unlearn it. And, you know, if you just look at the reviews you know, on Amazon, you'll see these, you know, there are people who've had lifelong insomnia, and within a few days it's turned around. I mean, I suggest to people, give it 28 days for the new pattern to really establish itself. But, you know, even last week I appeared on Good Morning America, and they gave the book and CD to a couple of insomniacs. And, of course, they're suddenly sleeping, you know, more hours. But what was really interesting was the quality of their sleep had dramatically improved, and this was just in a few days. And so I was pretty pleased to hear that, but it's a story I hear regularly.
So in terms of the actual, because, again, you know, I know that people who listen to the show are probably because I beat them into it, but they're very practical. They're like, okay, yeah, this sounds great, this sounds great, this sounds great.
Yeah.
What can I do? So,
yeah.
Of course, one thing to do is to get the book, to get the CD,
yeah,
to begin to work with it. But
yeah,
in terms of just something that I could do this evening,
yeah,
as I'm getting ready for bed,
yeah,
what's something that I can do that's going to make some sort of a difference, even if it's only a little difference tonight?
Oh, I can give you a whole list of things. Firstly, yeah, don't have caffeine too late. Don't eat too late either. You know, if your body will then be trying to digest the food while you're trying to relax and sleep. Never watch TV in bed. You know, sleep, make love, listen to my CD in bed. But, you know, don't associate.
At the same
time,
or?
What's that?
Should we separate those out, or should we do them
well,
all at the same time?
You know, I hadn't thought about it. If you're a multitasker, you could. But
I'm a high achiever. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly. So the other things as well is to check that the room is cool and that the bed is warm. And also that the room is dark. American research has shown that a light room, you know, definitely contributes to lighter sleep. So, you know, darker room, deeper sleep. In addition to that, if you're somebody who's got sleep disruption, there's one very simple thing that you can do that, again, the scientific research shows makes a profound difference. And this works for a lot of people in resetting their body clock. What you do is you get up half an hour earlier than your normal waking time. So if you normally wake at 7, I know this sounds like a drag, get up at 6:30 just for a few days, and somehow, miraculously, that resets the body clock. Oh, and in addition, another thing that helps them very much is exercise. Now, this doesn't mean having to go to a gym and pump iron or run on a track. Exercise is anything that involves moving your body, you know, particularly if it gets your heart beating faster and, you know, and your blood pumping more quickly. But, yeah, basically, it's any movement whatsoever. So a 15-minute walk counts as exercise. Now, the great thing about exercise is it cleans out the stress toxins and it makes you feel tired, so you're more likely to sleep well at night. So these are some very simple, practical things that people can do. Now, of course, also in the book, there are a number of techniques, psychological exercises for people who wake up in the middle of the night. Because people go, oh, yes, all very well, I go to sleep fine, but I wake up at 3 a.m., you know, and then I have to go to the bathroom. And, you know, sometimes it'll be a simple thing. They'll be drinking too much alcohol before bed. And, of course, what happens is, because they say, no, I need, look, a little alcohol definitely relaxes you, but too much dehydrates you, so you'll wake later and then you want to go to the bathroom. So sometimes it can be a simple thing like this, or other times it can be that these people are napping during the day. Now, some people can nap during the day and it makes no difference to their sleep, they're fine, in which case this doesn't apply to you. But if you're somebody who's got sleep disruption and you're cat-napping in the day, I can guarantee that that is absolutely a contributory factor. Because once again, and there's a stack of research on this, and if you want to read it, it will definitely put you to sleep as well. But often people who've got insomnia, they'll say, nah, I don't really nap in the day. Nah, not me. And then the research has found that they were indeed doing so. And they went, I just closed my eyes for 5 minutes. No, it was more like 20 to 30 minutes. And also, they were going very deep very quickly. Now, when you do that several times during the day, your body thinks two things. It goes, oh, well, we got some rest during the day, so we don't need to get so much tonight. And we seem to be doing this resting periodically. Fine, I'll do that at night. So, of course, it doesn't have any problem waking you up, you know, and then telling you, remember to do this tomorrow, remember to do that.
Now, that's interesting, because I had always heard that napping, particularly cat napping, short naps of sort of 20 minutes or less, were a positive way to sort of rebalance your energy.
Well, they are. This is, and for most people, a siesta is a fantastic thing. However, if you have significant sleep disruption, or an insomniac, let's say, cat naps absolutely will contribute to it. So until you've reset the natural balance of your sleep rest, your rest and alertness cycle, cat naps are out. Okay, so it's only for a short period of time whilst you reset the cycle. Because, again, and I'm only going on what the scientists have shown, is that it seems to upset the balance.
Okay, now we're talking to Paul McKenna. He's the author of I Can Make You Sleep, and in fact, he's Britain's best-selling nonfiction author. And he's also one of the just most extraordinarily effective therapists and coaches that I know. So let me open up the phone lines. If you want to call, and if you've got particularly, I'd love to hear from you, if you've got a sleep issue, a sleep question that you'd like some coaching around, the numbers to call are 866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Or if you're listening to the show in England or anywhere in Europe, you can dial 001-760-918-4300. And I'm getting a little note here. What about the other continents you can call to on whatever the country code is from where you are, and then 760-918-4300. And we'll go to them in a minute. But another question I wanted to ask you about is I have found that the hardest thing for me in adjusting my own sleep is I get so sort of excited about what I'm working on, and then I'm saying excited. Sometimes it's worried, but usually it is actually excited. That sleep almost feels like, oh, damn, I've got to sleep. I know I'm supposed to sleep, but I've got this project and I want to do this. You know, and I'm going to guess that. Well, I know for a fact. Who am I kidding? That you can identify with that.
I
I'm just wondering how you deal with that.
You know, and I find you know, when I'm getting to the end of a book, particularly, I will wake up in the night sometimes with a ton of great ideas. And look, everybody in the world gets some sleep disruption, you know, so I think it's worth saying that. So don't beat yourself up if you are one of those people who goes, you know, the perfectionist, who goes, but I slept 9 out of the 10 nights, but not the last one. In fact, recently I actually worked with somebody with insomnia, and I said, you know, I hadn't seen him for a while. Is he cured? He went, sadly not. I went, well, how much better is your sleep, would you say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10? He goes, about 80%. I thought, you know, it's funny how some people, even when they're doing really well, can still look for what isn't working. But I would say that, I've heard this, particularly from high achievers and happy and successful people, that they go, you know, I don't really want to go to sleep because I'm so excited about everything. And you know, I know that feeling. And for those people, I would suggest that's where the CD is really going to help them, because, you know, it's a kind of false economy to think, yeah, I mean, I'm so excited, I just want to keep going, I just want to keep, you know, doing these things, because what will happen is eventually, of course, you'll burn out. And I think it's a wonderful thing to have excitement and zest for life. You know, a lot of people who don't have that, you know, can't get any motivation to do anything, and that's what they want to do is sit around and do nothing all the time, you know. So we're not suggesting that for a moment. What I'm talking about is a balance, because when you are truly rested, then you're more productive. And it really is a very simple trade. You know, in fact, if anything, one of the things that I quite look forward to now is that I'm looking forward to sleeping really deeply tonight so that I've got a ton of energy for all the things I'm going to do tomorrow. But, you know, I know that feeling, and I think, you know, everyone can imagine it when they think about, it's like waking up on Christmas morning when you're a kid. You know, you almost don't want to go to sleep because you've got to wait to see what Santa's brought you. You know, and that is one of the great things about being a happy and successful person, which you are, Michael. So, you know, understandably, in fact, I read an interview with Steven Spielberg one day recently where he said, some mornings I'm so excited about what I'm going to do at work, I can't eat my breakfast. And so, in a way, it's a kind of high-class problem.
I was going to say, I think we should do a show on that later in the year as well. How to be so excited about your life you don't have time for breakfast. So listen, let me go to the phones. We've got a bunch of calls, but let me go to Holland. Let's go to Daniela. Daniela, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for having me. I have a question about focus. Maybe one of you can teach me a little bit how to have a stronger focus on things.
I can't hear this. I got to tell you.
Oh, okay. So the question is, and I'll sort of relay. And we're doing a very international thing here. We've got Holland, London, and California on the line. But Danielle is looking for sort of tips on focus, how to focus more, how to focus on one thing.
Oh, so is this related specifically to sleep, Danielle, or is
not
it
really?
Just life,
it's
generally?
Not related to sleep, but it's related to the many tricks we learn always on your shows, Michael, and on other. Another situation.
Sure. So but, no, it's more generally, and I think we can take that. We can open it up more generally.
Okay.
So
yeah, sure.
What are some of the things for you that you know? Because again, you're almost a role model for having 8 lives going on at once. You have your television shows. You've got the radio shows. You've got the weight loss club. You've got the books. You've got all the live trainings. All the different things that you do. So you know, how do you focus?
Okay. Well, firstly, I'm going to give you like 2 answers to this, Daniela, and it's a good question, and I think it applies to a lot of people. And by the way, this is something that keeps people awake at night when, you know, they've got too much going on in their minds. One of the simple ways to focus and prioritize what needs to be done in your daily life, and this is a very, very simple exercise. It's in several of my books, and I have found this works for housewives, for you know, billionaire entrepreneurs, for you know, businessmen, policemen, truck drivers, you know, every kind of person can use this in their lives. I would create an A, B, and C list each day. And A's are things that have got to be done. You know, they're important. They're really important. You know, if they don't get done, there's a bad consequence. So you've got to do them that day. B, things on the B list are important things, but are things that can wait, and everything else is a C. So what you do that day is you put a list of everything that's the, you know, all, you know, just get everything down that needs to be done, from I've got to phone the bank manager to I need to go shopping to I need to get a haircut, right? And then you put an A, B, and a C next to all those items. And then what you do is you do the A's first, right? And that will give you a feeling of relief when you've got through the A's. You then move on to the B's, and if you get to the C's that day, great. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. But that way, important things will not get missed. You will not have that feeling of tension, of worry that, you know, something's going to get missed out and you feel overwhelmed, because you will have created a simple system for prioritizing. Now, another way, you know, that people go, well, you know, I just don't really know there's so much and I can't really focus, all that sort of thing, is they aren't in touch with their values. They've created goals that are usually day-to-day sorts of things, you know, so they're sort of, they're surviving. Or, you know, they're not clear about what's really important to them. And I believe, you know, it's very important to have a purpose, have a function, in fact, in life, you know, to have a direction in life, you know, to have something that's bigger than yourself, you know, have a sort of a general direction in which your life is headed. In fact, I believe it was Viktor Frankl, the legendary psychiatrist, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, who said, purpose is the cornerstone of good mental health, and I'm going to have to agree with him on that. So what I do is make a list of your values. I'd say, you know, what's really important to me? Is it family? Is it, you know, loyalty? Is it making a positive difference to the world? Is it laughter? Is it love? Is it creativity? Is it freedom? Is it, you know, come up with a list of those really important values, you know, those things that are most important to you, and then design your goals out of your values. Always do it that way around. So, you know, if, for example, it's making a positive difference to the world, then, you know, then your goals, you know, will come, you know, directly from your values. And also list those values, if you can, in a sort of an order, what's most important. If it's family, then you know it's going to be important to spend time with your family rather than working all the time, you know. But, you know, at the same time, some work will need to be done in order to keep your family comfortable. So design your goals out of your values. And just having that order and that priority and that sense of value-driven goals will put you in a better place.
Now, the one thing I'd like to add as well, Danielle, that just is something I happen to my son is 14 and he's in high school and he gets sort of all head up about studying and worrying about this. And the one thing that I was able to share with him that really has made the difference, you know, to the point where he came up and gave me a big hug the other day and said, thank you so much for showing me this, which, you know, if you have a teenager, you know, is a heck of an accomplishment in and of itself, was just a very simple thing where I had him write down everything that he had to do and just on a single piece of paper to write down, the only thing I have to do is, and write one thing. So for him, it was, you know, study for English test. And then that was it. That was all he had to do. And all the other things, they were on a different piece of paper that was hidden. So whenever he kind of thought, oh, what am I doing? And he'd look, and there's just one thing on that piece of paper. When he was done with that, he crossed that out. He went back to his big list, and he picked something from that and put it. So there was only ever one thing on his list.
Love it.
And I find particularly when I'm getting overwhelmed with all the different things I have to do, when I recognize that in reality, I'm only going to really be able to do one of them at a time anyways, by setting it up so that that's right in front of me, right in my face, that's just the little bit of extra reminder that I need. Is that helpful?
The other thing there is
completely super helpful. Thank you very much.
Paper, you know, it might help, Daniela, just to write these things and get them out of your head and on a bit of paper where you can stand back from them and then look at them in perspective, you know. And, you know, sometimes just asking the question, what's really most important to me on this list? You know, that ABC thing. You know, what's
fantastic.
Really important.
We're coming up on our first break. If you want to get in the second half, Lisa and Ricky, you are next in the queue. We're going to get to you after the break. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. And from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. My guest is Paul McKenna. His new book is I Can Make You Sleep, and it's out now in the United States and the United Kingdom. And we will be right back with more of Paul and more of you and more of me right after the break.
918-4300.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the joy of sleep, and I'm talking with my good friend and best-selling author, Paul McKenna. He's the author of the new book, I Can Make You Sleep. And let's go straight back to the phone. So let's go to Lisa in Chicago. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I cannot tell you how excited I am to talk to both of you despite my exhaustion. Sorry if you maybe touched on this a tiny bit before, but like us all, you know, going through tough times and anxiety and job and family, all that stuff lately, I find myself a lot more waking up maybe around 2 or 3 o'clock. It's almost becoming like, sorry, the pun, clockwork, and waking up with just the worry and anxiety of things going on. And I've kind of tried some of the lists. The exercise definitely does help those kind of things, but I'm trying to see if maybe there's something more to help maybe go back to sleep fairly quickly or something to just calm it down. It's just waking up in, like, panic.
Absolutely. Paul, could you? I'm not sure if you could hear that.
I just caught the beginning words, and then I couldn't really hear it.
Okay, so let me essentially, and Lisa, if I make something up, you can just correct me.
Okay.
What she's looking for is, you know, just dealing with everything that's going on and wakes up in the middle of the night in a bit of a panic and, you know, has found that exercise has helped, has played around with a list, but would love something specifically that, you know, when she wakes up in the middle of the night, that'll help her to slow her mind down and get back to sleep.
Okay. I mean, the thing is that if there's a real-time problem or threat to your well-being and safety or, you know, your continued happiness, of course your mind is going to wake you in the middle of the night and also give you, you know, feelings of worry maybe at other times. To alert you to this, the whole point of emotions are their signals, and really, you know, that worry signal, if you like, is telling us, try and solve this, you know, figure this out, you know, be prepared, you know, maybe you need to be on top of this. And so firstly maybe there's something you haven't done yet that you need to, so I've got to put that one out there first of all, to be responsible around this. But very often what happens is we just get into a bad habit, you know, with something we haven't dealt with in the day pops up in the nighttime because finally, you know, the message can get through and it wants us to pay attention. Now, there's several things you can do. You can say to your mind at that point, okay, I agree to, what can I do to improve this? I could do this, this, and this. And just agreeing to take action will make a difference. Yeah, will often help. But, you know, there are several other exercises you can do. So, you know, keep a pen and a pad by the bed and go, yes, I'll do this, I'll do that. One of the other things that I would suggest is you ask the emotion what its signal is. I mean, you know, what? I mean, it's a shame I can't actually hear you because I could probably do it with you right now on the phone. But sometimes, and this is a very simple exercise, but does have a remarkably positive effect, which is imagine you are in a theater and there's the curtains are in front of you and they're closed. And then allow the curtains to open and allow something symbolic from your unconscious to appear there. Now, you may not be able to understand this consciously, but somehow it's like it lets off some of the pressure, letting your unconscious send a symbol to you of something that may not make sense there and then, but it may do later. Of course, the other this is a technique that, by the way, I think works fantastically for helping people whose mind is racing in the middle of the night. This is image streaming. It comes from Dr. Wynne Wenger's research on increasing intelligence. What they found was that when people described silently inside their minds what was going on, and they did it, particularly if they did it in a slow, monotonous voice, you know, that none of them could stay awake. Now, if they did it out loud, of course, it was very different. But I'm going to encourage you to do this silently in your mind. So instead of letting your mind race and, you know, talk to you and describe everything that's going on and worry you in a very sort of fast and excited tone, because, oh, what are we going to do about this? And what about that? Blah, 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 blah. You slow the pace of the voice down and literally describe everything that's coming into your consciousness in a very monotonous voice. So you go, now I'm aware that I'm worrying about that meeting that I have tomorrow. Now I'm aware that I'm thinking about that song that I like on the radio. And you do that for 5 minutes, it's tough to stay awake. You know, at very least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Ricky and I were both drifting off just then. That was great.
No, that'll definitely help.
The other thing that's going to help, you know, it's very simple. Use the CD. There's a couple of other strategies that are in the book that will help you to, you know, to clarify a sort of balance with the emotional signaling system of your mind, so that it doesn't wake you up in the night or wake you up as often. Or the other thing is, if it does wake you up, you'll be able to get back to sleep quickly. Because this is what a lot of people do. They wake up in the middle of the night, and they're so mad that they're awake that that then keeps them awake longer.
Right. No, I can't wait to get the book and the CD.
Fantastic,
that's,
Ricky.
That's been great news. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for phoning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to – well, actually, just before we that was Lisa. That's why that made no sense. Just before we go to Ricky, I just want to I just want to really reiterate that, because I think it's such a key to this is, you know, if you beat yourself, if the number one thing that I see people worry about that stops them from sleeping is not being able to sleep.
Yeah, that's it.
And as soon as you just make that okay for now, knowing that it's what, however it is right now, once you get the book, once you're listening to the CD, once you're using some of these techniques, you are actively transforming your relationship with sleep. You are changing the way that you sleep. Then it becomes less of a big deal. And because it's less of a big deal, it gets easier and easier and easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
all right, we're going to go back. Let's go to Ricky in Boston. Ricky, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi there. It's interesting that my call is coming on the back of the last caller. I'm one of those people that if I don't get enough sleep, and we all have a certain number of hours, I just don't seem to be able to perform real well the next day, no matter what it is. And so I wanted to run by you any techniques that you might have, and you just went over some. What do we do when we get the insomnia? And also, the next day, if we're not able to get the amount of sleep under our belts that we need, do you have any rebalancing techniques or any sort of mind techniques that you practice to get back on center?
Okay, fantastic. So I'll
got most of it, Michael, yeah. It was about, did Ricky say if he wasn't sleeping well, he's then concerned it affects his performance the next day.
Well, yeah. What she's saying is that okay, when you can do these things, but when it hasn't worked or you haven't done it yet or you just had a rough night, what are some things you can do to really balance your energy up during the day to get through the day without it being about suffering and survival?
Well, you know, I'm not really joking when I say this. Caffeine. You know, there's nothing like if you are half asleep, a good cup of coffee or a cup of tea to wake you up. Now,
but at what point does caffeine just reinforce the problem?
Well, absolutely. That I was going to say, there's a threshold. I mean, obviously, if you have too much, then you're wired out of your mind. And, of course, you then become reliant upon it. I mean, what we're doing with this system is reestablishing a natural relationship with life. And, you know, the way you sleep and the way you are in your waking life are two parts of the system, of the, if you like, the cybernetic loop of relationship with life in terms of, you know, so what I mean is one is influencing the other. The way you are on your waking day will affect how you sleep. The way you sleep will affect how you are on your waking day. You know, there's that fantastic Indian saying, which is, if you want to know what your thoughts were like yesterday, check how your body feels today. And so what I'm going to say is, look, there will be times when you won't have a great night's sleep, and, you know, maybe you'll have to use some assistance like a cup of coffee to wake you up because you don't feel on top form to get you through the day. But if you're then, as Michael rightly says, so reliant on the caffeine, you know, to charge you up, there's going to be a price at the other end. So it's finding that balance. And by the way, that is a unique thing that only you can discover, because everybody has their own unique body chemistry. Some people eat a peanut, it will kill them. Other people, you know, can do all sorts of things and it doesn't seem to have any effect on them. Keith Richards. So, what I would suggest is you find, you know, your own balance there. I mean, what I'm going to suggest for you in the short term, Rick, actually not the short term, I'm going to suggest you, period, is get this book and this CD. It will help you immensely, particularly the CD more than the techniques. That CD, a lot went into it. You know, I recorded it several times since I got it just right. It's 25 minutes of deep relaxation. It's there whenever you need it. So let's say you wake awake in the middle of the night and you're not having a good time, bingo, just put, you know, you put it on your iPod, your MP3 player, and you can just slip it on, and it will help you glide back into a beautiful state of mind and body where suddenly you feel much better. Now, will it solve all your problems in one go? Oh, almost certainly not. But will it improve the quality of the sleep you have, the quality of the experience you have the next day? Because, you know, what you put into your mind last thing at night will not only affect your sleep, it will affect the way that you wake and then perform in the world the next day. So what you're doing is literally you're stacking the cards in your favor. You're making it more likely by programming positive hypnotic suggestions like seeds, planting them in your unconscious to give you all kinds of joyous, good feelings and feelings of balance the next day. So, you know, I could tell you any number of techniques. I don't want to do that in a sort of glib way. I'm going to suggest my overwhelming feeling for you is get that CD, listen to it as you fall asleep every night for the next few weeks. And if you're waking in the middle of the night, put it on and let it, you know, rebalance, reharmonize your body and your mind so that your relationship with life is enhanced as well.
Michael, what CD is she talking about?
What's that, Ricky?
What's the name of the CD? Because
the CD,
it comes with the book.
Yeah, it's called I Can Make You Sleep. You can get it from Amazon or get it from barnesandnoble.com or get it. It's in all good bookstores. So if you go into a bookstore and they don't have it, they're a bad bookstore.
Shame on them. No, it's newly out, Ricky, but I know when I walked into a Barnes & Noble just before I flew out, they had them everywhere. So.
Okay.
You'll be able to fly it. Thank you so much for phoning. Paul, just a question for you from me. Where do you stand on, okay, you've talked about if somebody's got the CD to put it on in the middle of the night, but if you are someone who wakes up in the middle of the night and for whatever reason you haven't got the book yet or, you aren't somewhere where you can do that, are you a fan of staying in bed and trying to get back to sleep or getting up?
One of the other things you can do, and this was from the work of Milton Erickson, the legendary American hypnotist and he was a medical doctor and a psychotherapist. He would have his clients that continually woke in the middle of the night to get up and do something boring. And this was because if you get up and you watch TV and you read an exciting book and, you know, you go and, you know, do things that are fun, you're rewarding your mind, and then it's got good reason to wake you because there's fun things to do in the middle of the night. So what you want to do is do your tax return, clean the toilet, I don't know, get a textbook out. Whatever you find boring or particularly uninteresting or uninspiring, go do that. And then what will happen is your mind will find it won't be rewarded, and so it's less likely to wake you.
Yeah, we're going to get angry letters from CPAs now going, what do you mean accountancy is boring?
Exactly. Yeah, some people love it. I know. I mean, the other thing I would like to mention is that there was a Scandinavian hypnotist, I think it was in Norway, about sort of 25, 30 years ago, who recorded a telephone line that people could call. And it was this guy basically doing a very relaxing hypnotic induction. And I don't, you know, much. I love Scandinavian people. I have had, many, many fun experiences in Denmark and Norway and Holland, and Finland and Sweden. I think it's fair to say Scandinavian people are not the most, are not renowned for their sort of excitability. And, you know, in fact, whenever I've done trainings in Scandinavia, I said, find the most exciting time in your life. You know, they'll go, yes, I'm thinking about it now. And so you can imagine if this guy was doing a relaxing induction, it must have been the most relaxing induction in history. And so anyway, you'd call this phone line at night, right? And this guy would say, you are relaxing, you are feeling sleepy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the insomniacs would listen to this and fall asleep. It became, I believe, if not the most popular, it was certainly one of the most popular phone lines in the country. And this was the thing that really astounded me. And this, God bless this man, because look what he did. The amount of prescription drugs being taken for sleep nationally decreased. So one good idea, well executed, changed a nation. And that was one of the things that made me think, God, I really can make a difference with a book and a CD to a lot of people's lives, because he did it with a recorded phone line. And, you know, and because people say, don't you have to be there in person? Absolutely not.
All right, brilliant. We have a tip, I think, on line one. Susan, welcome to the show. What can you do for us?
Oh, thank you so much, Michael. I enjoy your show so much. I've actually turned my husband on to you.
he downloads your show and listens on podcasts.
Oh,
and I find your brilliance and enthusiasm infectious, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. So my tip is, because there's nothing more cruel than not being able to get sleep for me, is if I do wake up, I've learned if I don't look at the clock, then I'm not aware the next day of just how much sleep I've missed, and it helps.
And it's interesting. Do you do that? Do you just not have a clock by the bed, or how do you do that?
Right there, my husband and I, we have a, you know, there's a clock by our alarm clock by the bed, and it used to just be torture. Or even if I'd be, you know, on a work trip, and I'd be in the hotel, and the clock would be next. It's like I'd wake up at 1, and oh God, it's 2, and I can't get back, and it's 3, and I have to be up by 5, and I just learned at a certain point that it's the most loving thing it feels for myself to be like, okay, I'm up. I'm not going to look at the clock. I'm not going to stress about how much sleep I'm not getting, because that was the most stressful thing to me, was knowing I only got 3 hours last night. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. My dad is a very light sleeper. He'll be 70 this year, and it's really stressful for him when he wakes up during the night. And I told him that that trick, and it helps.
Brilliant. And I know for me, thank you for that, Susan.
Thank you.
And, Paul, I'm not sure how much of that you heard.
Yeah, I caught the beginning bit about not looking at the clock.
Not looking at the clock. And I know for me, I've actually had the experience that it was kind of comical in retrospect, though it didn't feel it at the time, where I woke up on one of these trips, and I looked at the clock, and it was 7, and I was like, yes, I've slept through. And then my eyes focused, and it was 1. And the thing was, what I noticed was I had so much energy when I thought it was 7.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I knew it was 1, all the energy went. And it really made me realize how much of it was in my thinking and not in my body.
You know, I when I get on a plane, I take my watch off. I reset it to the new time, by the way. And then I don't look at it. And I've seen people do this. They go, and they'll go, so, you know, you get somewhere and you go, oh, so you just got in. They'll go, so it must be really late at night for you. You know, and you go, oh, thank you so much for that nice hypnotic suggestion, you know. Or it must be really early in the morning, so you probably don't feel tired yet, you know. But when you haven't got that reference point, my goodness, does it make a difference? So I completely agree with your last caller that, you know, looking at the clock, and this is, again, what insomniacs do, is they look at the alarm clock and they go, I've only got 5 hours to sleep now. Then they look at it later, oh, I've only got 4, I've only got 3. They make themselves more and more tense, you know. And, of course, that just adds to the problem. So, yeah, definitely a good idea. Don't look at the clock. Set the alarm clock, but don't look at it.
Now, what are some other tips like that? Because I know in the book you've got a sort of a collection of just tips that you can run through that make a difference for people.
Well, you know, these are the ones that we talked about at the beginning about, you know, cutting out caffeine and food late at night, definitely being in a room that's cool but the bed is warm. Make sure the room is dark. These are all simple things. But the most important things are stressful activities late, just before you go to bed. So, you know, watching action movies or the news, particularly if you watch them in bed. No. Do not watch TV in bed. Bad idea. And, you know, getting yourself all cranked up and stressed out and excited, you know, before sleep, you know, and that kind of thing will definitely help to keep you awake. But as you said earlier, the biggest thing is that people have a bad night's sleep or several bad nights' sleep, they then worry that they might have insomnia, and so they get stressed as bedtime approaches and have a little mini panic attack, and lo and behold, they produce too much adrenaline, they can't get to sleep, they lay there awake. The more they try and consciously force themselves to go to sleep, the more they stay awake, because going to sleep is an unconscious activity. You allow it to happen rather than make it happen. If you want to do something conscious to make yourself go to sleep, then, you know, a couple of techniques I described earlier, like image streaming, help. But the other thing is using the hypnosis CD. And the other night, I did a daft thing, and I didn't follow my own rules. I was watching this, TV, and this movie started, and I didn't realize it was going to get really exciting towards the end. And there was a gunfight and everything. I got really into it. And then, of course, I'm all wound up, and I don't want to go to sleep. And I thought, well, let's just see how good that CD is. So I went and put my own CD on. And lo and behold, 20 minutes later, my busy mind had calmed, my body felt relaxed, you know, and the, clearly the chemistry inside me had changed. and I just drifted into a beautiful night's sleep. And I thought, wow, you know, if I wanted to convince of myself, I had it.
There's one other thing that you talk about that I just want to take some time before we finish to share, which is actually using, as you're drifting off to sleep, to sort of program your mind to help you solve a problem or to help you with a goal. I just wonder if you can share a little bit about that, because that's something that I know that I found, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, there's so many things I want to do, that I found that realizing that if I let it, if I ask it to, that my mind will help me with that stuff while I sleep.
Well,
definitely made a big difference for me in sleeping.
Yes. I mean, well, all the great creative people throughout history used the daydream reverie type state, which is not dissimilar to that state just before we fall asleep at night. You know, we're not really asleep, we're not really awake. They used that for creative reasons. Einstein, you know, when he came up with the theory of relativity, he imagined riding on a beam of light, flashing a torchlight across at another beam. You know, people like Walt Disney, Tesla would design a machine inside his mind with such precision he could actually build a real one, start the two at the same time, and see which parts had worn out. And often, the one in his imagination, you know, a few days or weeks later, would be exactly where the one in the real world was, because he'd got such a great sense of calibration. So, you know, some people use this. Goethe, Mozart, all these great creatives, certainly, the, you know, perhaps the greatest genius of them all, Leonardo da Vinci, refer to that daydream-type state where they get their ideas from. Now, a very simple way to do it is this, and this is the simplest way I know. You take a problem before you go to sleep, and you offer it up to God, if you believe in God, your higher self, if that's what, you know, you find more comfortable, the universe, if you're more, say, scientifically or psychologically prone, then offer it to your unconscious mind, you know, that genius biocomputer that's capable of all kinds of creative solutions. Offer it to, you know, to something other than your conscious mind, basically, and just offer it up and let it go. That's the important thing.
Yes.
Let it go and say, help me solve this in the night, something like that, just a simple request. Help me come up with an idea, or help me move this on. And I remember doing this a few years ago. One of the most interesting ones was I was working on a project. We just couldn't come up with a logo. And I'm not kidding. As I awoke in the morning, this logo came up out of the ocean, and one bit of it sparkled. And I went, oh, my God, that's it. So I quickly rang the designer. I said, the lettering looks like this, and there's a sparkle on the eye. And he went, oh, my God, that's great. That's a perfect design, you know. Now, look, I mean, who knows where it comes from? But frankly, who cares? So many people I know will offer a problem to their unconscious, to God, to the universe, to their higher self, whatever it is, before they go to sleep at night. But you've got to let it go. You've got to offer it and let it go. You mustn't sit there going, I'm going to watch the process as you give me the answer, because then your conscious mind's involved and you're going to stay awake. So no. What you need to do is to offer it, let it go. See it float off into the distance, then go to sleep. And I'll be surprised if you don't have something helpful the next day or soon after.
That is brilliant. Thank you, Paul. My guest today has been Paul McKenna, PhD, author of the new book, I Can Make You Sleep, and it is available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and all sorts of good bookshops in the real world, too. And, Paul, if people want to find out more about you on the web, is www.mckenna.com the best place to go?
McKenna.com is the weight loss site. Now, that's my American website, which has, yes, predominantly focuses on weight loss. But for all other things, if you go to paulmckenna.com, you know, then that's the British site, but that's got, you know, a range of all my other products and things out there. You know, I hopefully will get to meet you someday in the future, because occasionally I do live events with you, Michael. And,
this
you know,
true.
We have a great fun time. I think, you know, hopefully next year we'll get together and change some lives for the better at a live event, you know, maybe with our good friend Richard Bandler as well, because I know we've been talking about it. So if that interests you, visit the website, leave us your email, and we'll contact you with details.
Fantastic. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with a brand new show next week. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.